Hi, and welcome to the Provider Podcast. I'm Adam Brimelow, and for this edition, we're looking at party politics and the NHS as we move beyond the political conference season and towards what will almost certainly be a general election year. I say almost certainly because it has to be scheduled no later than 28th of January 2025. But there was a strong sense of pre-election positioning at the party conferences, which took place against a background of continued industrial action, growing performance pressures, and financial challenges for the NHS. As usual, NHS providers was at the main party conferences, meeting key health and care stakeholders and helping to shape debate through our roundtable discussions. In a moment, we'll hear from Sir Julian Hartley, NHS Providers Chief Executive, reflecting on his first visit to the party conference season. But first, let's hear from Kerry Racher, Senior External Affairs Manager, who was down with the delegates as discussion about health and the prospects for the NHS were never far from the focus of debate. Kerry, the National Health Service is always a big theme at party conferences, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, Adam. And this party conference season was no different. The NHS was at the forefront of all three conferences, with announcements setting out what each party would deliver if they won power next year. In his speech to conference, Steve Barclay announced new medical schools and additional medical school places, as well as funding to speed up the adoption of tech across the NHS, with promise that these projects would be delivered this financial year. He also announced a consultation to look at proposed changes to the NHS constitution. The Secretary of State also reiterated his commitment to patient care, patient choice, and the NHS long-term workforce plan. On strike action, which again, as you mentioned, Adam, was at the forefront of this conference season, he described junior doctors and consultant strikes as a blockage in progress on pandemic recovery, which didn't go down that well with the BMA, as you can imagine. In his speech to conference, Rishi Sunak focused on prevention, committing to raise the legal smoking age by 1 year every year. And he also announced measures to restrict the availability of vapes to children. At Labour conference, health was equally at the front and centre, with Wes Streeting announcing that Labour will create a neighbourhood health service, which will have pioneering cutting-edge treatment and technology, preventing ill health and not just treating it. They announced extra funding to help the NHS cut backlogs, with extra clinics at evenings and weekends, and a Fit for the Future fund, which will provide state-of-the-art equipment and new technology. In his speech to conference, leader of the Labour Party, Keir Starmer, reiterated the commitment set out in Labour's health mission earlier in the year. He said the future NHS will focus on preventing illness and care will be moved into the community. He also said that people will be able to get mental health treatment when they need it. The Liberal Democrats also focused on the NHS, with their leader, Ed Davey, saying the party will focus on investment in mental and physical health as a way to grow the economy. They'll provide better pay and condition for care professionals, and launch a plan to tackle waiting times and poor access to mental health services, particularly for children.
So, Kerry, a lot of announcements, as you were saying, at the conferences. I know that you were able to follow up with some really key delegates on some of the big issues coming through, and one of them was the state of capital investment and the investment in the NHS estate.
Yes, that's right, Adam. We held events at all of the conferences and secured a really good range of stakeholders at all of them. Our Conservative event focused on capital funding, and we were able to talk to some of the attendees about what is needed and their reflections on the discussion. And one of those attendees was Dr. Ladee Smith, President of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, who spoke to us about the impact lack of capital funding has on the mental health estate.
So first and foremost, as a mental health practitioner, I was very happy that mental health was mentioned, actually. And it wasn't just mentioned, it was recognised to be as important as physical health. I think that there was better understanding that the environment in which a person is recovering from whatever illness it is crucial to their recovery. And it's not only for the individual, but it can save money. It can reduce costs, and actually the truth is, especially when it comes to mental health, it can reduce relapse going forward. I was happy as well that there was mention of sustainability, and we're very keen in mental health care to ensure that people understand that every time a person goes into crisis, that not only has a negative impact on them as individual, but it also costs more in terms of finances, but also the environment. When someone goes into crisis, they end up coming into hospital. Hospital has, as has been said in this discussion, is one of the biggest causes of, it has a massive carbon footprint coming into hospital, especially if you can't come into your local hospital and you've got to go to a hospital 200 miles away, which all too frequently happens with some of our patients. And so I was happy to hear that as well. And I was happy that there was discussion about the way in which mental health new hospitals might be funded. I was slightly disappointed that I think there might have been a little bit of a fudge there. What I didn't hear said is, absolutely, we are going to prioritise mental health hospitals because we've been lagging behind. And the reality is that mental health hospitals, I mean, 15% of mental health hospitals were built before the NHS was even thought about. You know, our hospitals have been crumbling. Too many of them have wards that are not fit for purpose. As I said in the discussion, our patients stay much, much longer than acute care patients, and yet too frequently they're having to live in dorms. So I worry that, I mean, it shouldn't simply be that they should be thought of in the same way as physical health hospitals. Actually, they should be prioritised.
Dr. Ledé-Smith there from the Royal College of Psychiatrists. And Kerry, I know that you were able to follow up on this issue with a government minister responsible for capital.
Yes, that's right. We had Lord Markham attend and speak at our event, and he shared his reflections on what the government can do on this really important issue.
What I felt today was just the keenness to, you know, all work together to make sure that these new hospital designs are right and they get the input from all the experts in it all, and a real opportunity to build a whole new generation of hospitals which will really transform the NHS.
Lord Markham there, and then of course you had events for NHS providers at the Labour and Liberal Democrat conferences as well. I know there was a big focus there on workforce well-being, and you were able to catch up with a shadow health minister.
Yes, that's right. Karen Smith spoke at our event and shared her reflections on workforce well-being.
It's been really good to have this discussion hosted by NHS providers about what people are feeling inside the service and some ideas about how we help wellbeing. We know that morale is a real difficult problem, but my reflection is still the NHS is a great place to work, but we've got some things that we can think about fixing. We did talk about racism and sexism that is faced by people working in the system. I think local leaders can help with some of that. We also touched on the issue that makes life difficult for people about housing locally, about childcare. I talk about our health missions as a party and our broad look across the piece, across all our missions, about tackling some inequalities, some access around delivery for our missions, and bringing the whole of a societal focus to some of the problems we have in the health service.
That was the Shadow Health Minister Karen Smith talking to Kerry Racher, and we'll be picking up on that theme of workforce wellbeing in our next podcast, exploring innovations by trust to support their staff teams. On now to Sir Julian Hartley, making his party conference season debut as Chief Executive of NHS Providers. Julian, welcome back to the Provider Podcast. We live in interesting political times with an election drawing nearer. What were your impressions of the party conferences, and did it make you wish you'd been a politician?
Thank you, Adam. Well, it was fascinating. I've never been to any of the party conferences before, and of course the NHS is always in the spotlight politically, so it was really interesting to represent NHS providers at the party conferences. My impressions, well, I mean, really interesting. The Conservatives in Manchester, you go into this kind of ring of steel that surrounds the conference hotel and the conference centre, and you really are in a kind of bubble full of people who are influencing, lobbying, as well as familiar faces in terms of ministers, MPs. So really interesting to renew some old acquaintances with former colleagues that I've worked with in Leeds, people like Stuart Andrew, MP, bumping into other MP colleagues and seeing some of the well-known ministerial faces in and around the conference as well. And of course, my impressions of then obviously of the Labour Party conference, different scale, 18,000 people in Liverpool, enormous event, and a real buzz and a lot of activity going on there. And obviously the expectation in terms of Keir Starmer's speech, and obviously we were interested in what Wes Streeting had to say as well. I should say, Adam, that, you know, there's an important purpose for us as NHS providers being there, because, you know, we connect with decision makers, we influence policymakers and politicians, and we ran two very successful roundtables at both the Conservative and Labour Party conference, and indeed, I shouldn't forget, the Liberal Democrat conference, which I didn't attend, Saffron did, and those were very, very important, useful. Lord Markham at the Conservatives, Karen Smith at Labour. In terms of your question, well, I think I'm best off championing the cause of our members in the context of politics. I don't harbour any political ambitions, but it's certainly fascinating and interesting being in that world, if only for a couple of days. So I felt we held our, you know, we kept our influence up and we made an impact. But I think I prefer doing this job to the machinations of party politics.
Well, Julian, you were buzzing around, I'm sure, talking to all kinds of movers and shakers, having interesting conversations. Were there any real nuggets there, or great conversations, memorable exchanges that you had that will stay with you?
Really interesting question, Adam, because at these conferences, not only are you talking to, you know, politicians, but you're also talking to colleagues in the media as well. So it was really interesting having that opportunity to react in real time to the speeches that were made. So, for example, after Steve Barclay's speech, being able to talk to Nick Eardley from the BBC at the Labour Party conference, having an impromptu conversation with Nick Robinson, who has been my interlocutor on more than one occasion on the Today programme. So actually, quite a lot of interaction with media colleagues and getting to know them better, because, of course, there is that nexus of politics, policy, and that's a world that we need to influence and inhabit. On the political front, I think that it was fascinating having the chance to have more in-depth conversations with Nick Markham around capital. And I think, you know, when you get politicians in these moments when perhaps more relaxed, more discursive moments, and the same indeed with Karen Smith, I think the conversations tend to be more in-depth, productive, and it feels like an opportunity of real sort of influence for us. I think I'd say those opportunities, really, to have more informal, relaxed and in-depth conversations than perhaps sometimes the kind of punchy headline, very staccato, short interactions that you tend to have as part of the sort of media round. So I think that really did open my eyes to some of the opportunities that these events offer you.
Julian, we're really moving into that pre-election mode now, aren't we? Where differences between particularly the Conservatives and Labour will be sort of amplified writ large and analysed. What was your sense of the differences, the feel in those conferences?
Well, it was interesting that, Adam, I think there was certainly a sense, I think, in Manchester of obviously the headlines being dominated by HS2, and particularly given the conference itself was being held in Manchester. Health was on the agenda, of course, and there were quite a few fringe sessions. And I think that was the other thing about these conferences that struck me, is the number of fringe sessions and the opportunities to hear it from different think tanks and speakers and so on. But I think the Conservative pitch, particularly from the Secretary of State, you know, it focused on, there were some announcements about technology investment, but it did focus on the challenges around strike action. Just from our perspective, wanting to see a resolution to strike action. At the Labour conference, I think some headlines around the NHS, obviously, one of Keir Starmer's five missions, as indeed, you know, Rishi Sunak highlights health too. I think from Labour, we saw an interesting approach around 1.1 billion investment from non-dom tax, which was a sort of headline grabbing initiative in terms of putting that into the NHS to pay overtime to bring waiting lists down. Now, of course, staff are stretched to the limit. So some of the practicalities around persuading staff to do even more work when they've already been stretched is a question. But there's a lot of focus on primary and community care settings, on prevention, but yet to see perhaps more flesh on the bone of that. But certainly there was a real energy and sense of expectation at the Labour conference. People who'd been before told me they'd not seen for years. So interesting compare and contrast, really. And certainly it was on a much bigger scale than the Conservative conference. But of course, as the fantastic team in providers were kind of telling me, it's a different framing for the Labour Party conference, with actually policy making and resolutions that are taken rather than just platform speeches from ministers, which tends to happen at the Conservative conference. So fascinating insight, Adam. Very different feel. And certainly, but I think whatever the outcome, we are well placed, I would say, in the context of both parties to maximise our influence, and certainly both have a big focus on the NHS.
So well placed to maximise NHS providers' influence. But what's the message? What will NHS providers be wanting to see from the next government?
Well, I think we are absolutely clear that in the short term, we need to see resolution to industrial action to get the NHS on a decent footing to tackle the upcoming challenges this winter. In the medium term, we do want to see that joined up approach from government around the NHS and around healthcare. The NHS is one part of a much wider system, which includes social care, and the wider determinants of health make a big impact on the NHS. So having health as a kind of cross-government responsibility is something that we're keen to see happen. We also want to make sure that we see strong investment in capital. You know, the challenge that we see day in, day out, and the reports from our member trusts about some of the big issues that they face. So strong investment in capital to ensure that we've got that sustainable future going forward. And alongside that, sustainable revenue investment, because the NHS over the last decade has suffered from a really challenging financial settlements to the extent that we're now seeing some of the outcomes of that. And I think we do want to make sure that we see a real drive towards quality and outcomes for patients. So ensuring that we've got that patient-centered approach. And the work that many of our members do around quality and safety is great, but these are challenging times where, in a number of ways, performance and quality are in retreat, and we need to see that reversed. We need to see that thoroughgoing focus on safety and quality in all of our trusts, with that spirit of improvement running through it. Those are the things that we're saying to politicians. Those are the things that we're championing on behalf of our members, and we're looking forward to engaging with whoever forms the future government.
So that was NHS Providers Chief Executive Sir Julian Hartley. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to all our guests for their contributions. And of course, you can find out much more about NHS providers at the conference season on the NHS Providers website. A reminder, you can join in the conversation by following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast, and to keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you.